Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and let's read verse 4 together again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. I want us to consider this verse for our text tonight because we have so much to be thankful for. We have so very much to be thankful for. That's what I've titled this message. We have so much to be thankful for. We honestly do. Again, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That just really struck me when I read that. I read the whole chapter, but that one verse, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It just struck me, how should we enter into his house? How should we enter into his presence for worship? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's a wonderful exhortation to us. And the reason is because we honestly have so very much to be thankful for. Just so much. Now, we forget that. We do. We forget that. And our sinful flesh gets us in a place where we feel like we have so much to complain about. And I recognize that in myself. I honestly do. I recognize that in myself. And I wish it wasn't so. And I would love to change that. I pray the Lord might help me change that. But that is the way of the flesh. We read about our brothers and sisters wandering in the wilderness in the Old Testament. And all they did was murmur and complain. And you think, what is wrong with y'all? That's all I do. That's all I do. I'm being honest. I just murmur and complain. I get myself so convinced that, oh, there's a lot to complain about. Oh, we just have so much to complain about. Oh, so much work left on that building. Thank God we're getting a building. The ministry's tough. Thank God he gave us the ministry. How many people are without it? We come into the house of the Lord. This is what happens. I believe this is what happens for all of God's people. We come into the house of the Lord and we open his word. And this is why we do this. We were just here. Why are we back? We're in need again. We're in the same need we were in before we came in this morning. We come into the house of the Lord and we open up his word together and we see the things of God in spite of the things of man. Just look at God's goodness to his people throughout that time in the wilderness, in spite of them. We're no different. We're still in the wilderness. Kingsport is the wilderness. And we see what our Lord has done for us in spite of us, and we're reminded again, we have so much to be thankful for. So very much. David listed some of the things that he was thankful for right here, the next verse. In verse 4, he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name for The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Those are three wonderful things to be thankful for. The Lord Himself is good. And let me see if I can convey what I'm trying to convey. The adversary is not. We are not. But the Lord is. In His character, in His will, in His desire, the Lord is good. He is so good. His mercy that He has on sinners. There's nothing greater to a sinner who really gets a hold of his sin. There is nothing greater to a sinner who's gotten hold of his sin than mercy in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you cannot fathom how that sin is going to be dealt with, how that sin is going to be corrected, how that sin is going to be stopped doing. You say, I can't stop doing it. And then you hear about mercy through the covering of the blood. God poured blood on it and smothered it. And He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Nothing greater. Any sinner who needs mercy for the sin that they committed yesterday and the sin they committed today and the sin that they know they're going to commit tomorrow, this is the greatest thing you could hear. His mercy endureth forever. And His truth endures to all generations. Isn't that wonderful? While we cry, save our children, save our children, the Word of God says, His truth endures to all generations. Those are three wonderful things to be thankful for, honestly thankful for. David himself said, I am so thankful for that. David listed a lot of things in the Psalms that he was thankful for. He constantly listed things he was thankful for. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. He let it be known, this is what I'm thankful for. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9. Look at verse 15. He said, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. He said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What was God's unspeakable gift? His only begotten Son. The spotless Lamb of heaven. The one who is owed all the value. All the value. The one who is owed all the glory. The one who heaven literally revolves around. Heaven revolves around Him. Everything is looking to Him. You talk about a reason to be thankful. You know, God didn't say, I'm going to take one of the cherubims and slay one of the cherubims for you. He said, I'm going to take my only begotten Son. The one that heaven is built on. And I'm going to give Him. For God so loved sinners, ungodly sinners, out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue all over this world, He gave His only begotten Son. And Paul said, I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse Again, the Apostle Paul is the one writing this, and he said in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Paul said, "I thank God for his election. And I thank God for the ones he elected. Thank God for his election and the people he chose. Thank God he chose sinners to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He set them apart by his Spirit and put his own faith in them. Caused them to believe on him. That's how he did it." David said, "This is what I'm thankful for." Many times David said, "This is what I'm thankful for." The Apostle Paul said, "This is what I'm thankful for." And I'm so glad we have those things recorded so we can read them. But how wonderful is it to know that the Lord himself declared, "This is what I'm thankful for." Look with me at Luke chapter 10. This is just, boy, this is something. Luke 10, verse 21, it says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit." And I just, the thought of that is just, that's time stopping. That's, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Aren't you thankful for that? The Lord himself said, "Father, I am so thankful for the fact that you've chosen to reveal these mysteries of the gospel and these mysteries of salvation and eternal life to babes. The lowly, the simple, the meek." He said, "I thank you for that." Our Lord, in his example here, openly declaring his own thanksgiving and him doing that, he is the proof to us that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. Our text tells us, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That's what our text tells us. So with that instruction, I've written down a few things that I am sincerely thankful for. That's his instruction to us. And I've written down a few things that I'm sincerely, honestly thankful for. Now, these are not the only things, not at all. The things that David said he was thankful for and the things that Paul said he was thankful for, and especially the thing that the Lord said he was thankful for, I'm thankful for all that too. All of God's people are. So, so thankful. We're thankful for everything that pertains to Christ and our life in him. So these are not the only things. These are just the things that the Lord laid on my heart for this message. And these things can speak for all of us. I'm saying these are the things I'm thankful for. They can speak on behalf of all of us as we are gathered here in his court together. All right? We can all declare our thankfulness to him, along with his goodness and his mercy through the blood of his cross. his unspeakable gift, along with his election of his particular people. And the fact that those people are the lowly people like you and me. Along with that, in really thinking about it and in praying about it, I just took some time to really think, what am I thankful for? What am I really thankful for? In thinking about it, praying about it, and applying it to the life that we right now live on this earth, right here, right now. The first thing that I want to declare my and our thankfulness to God for is found in Revelation 19. Turn with me over to Revelation 19. While you're turning there, I'll say again that we could all go into our hearts and we could think of thousands of things to be thankful for. Thousands of things, all right? These are just the ones I want to bring our attention to tonight. Revelation 19, look with me at verse 5. It says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." I sincerely thank God for the fact that our God reigneth. And I mean that. We'll spend eternity naming reasons why we thank God for everything. But the thing that I sincerely want to say to him, as we have now come into his court, the thing that I want to say I'm so, so thankful for in this day and age that we live in right now is the fact that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The word omnipotent means all ruling, almighty. He reigns. Our God is right now reigning over all things. All things. You can turn with me or just listen. You know these. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, I could just quote this, but I want to get it right. Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." That's our God. Daniel 4. This is Daniel 4, verse 35. I quote this all the time, and I love this. I'm so thankful for it. It says, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Aren't you glad? All of them. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" So, so glad. Listen to this one. This is Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Why is that evil, wicked man over there doing what he's doing? For him. That's why. It says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Our God is right now reigning over all things, all things. A sparrow can't fall to the ground. A hair cannot fall out of a head. Honestly, without him giving permission for that to take place. We do not enter into that. We shouldn't even pretend like we do. We do not enter into that. We could if the Lord would give us the ability to, but we don't. But here's the thing. Whether we enter into it or not is irrelevant. Our God is still reigning. We can enter into it and have peace and comfort and rest, or not enter into it and have fear and worry and doubt. It doesn't matter. Either way, our God reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I'm thankful. I'm very, very thankful. You know, men down here running around saying, well, now this could happen. That could happen. You know what's going to happen? Whatever the king on the throne allows to happen. The reigning king. That's what's going to happen. Only what he lets happen. And whatever he says will happen, will happen. He reigns. In my lifetime, I've never known chaos like this in the world before. I'm not that old. I keep saying that, but one day that's not going to be true anymore. And I know many of you have lived longer. And I also know that we've been very sheltered in this country. I do know that. There's been a lot of, just turmoil. And we've been very sheltered from it. But for me, just in my experience, this is the most chaotic, seemingly uncertain time I have ever known. Do you know that nothing that's going on right now is chaotic or uncertain? Nothing. Nothing. David said, although it be not so with my house, the Lord hath made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and sure. Even though I haven't been able to fully see it or understand it in this life that I've lived here on this earth, even though he make it not to grow, I haven't seen the fullness of it. Even though we don't understand these things, we know that they are all ordered and sure. Ordered and sure. God controls armies. God controls nations. All we have to do is read the scripture. God can make two enemies of his people ambush each other and just wipe everybody out. And then they show up. The Lord told them, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Well, it was like he said it was. God controls plagues. It's all ordered. It's all controlled. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man, a man who's been made good in Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Even our steps are ordered by the Lord. You ever leave the house and get so frustrated and murmur and complain because you forgot something? So you have to turn around and go back and get it. There's no telling what the Lord spared you from. Hannah knows that I like to take Center Street all the way here because it's faster and I want to get here. And that's usually the route we take. And every now and then she'll say, take Watauga. She is, you know, nice driving. And every now and then I'll say, oh, all right. There's no telling what the Lord spared us from. You just think, well, on a whim, our hap was, I got to run back and get that. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. Every single step is ordered by the Lord. There is no chance ahead of you. There is no uncertainty around the corner. Trouble, yes. Trials, absolutely. Sickness, sorrow, it'll be there just like the Lord said it would be there. Just like the reigning king said it would be there. But it's all at the hand of the one who is in control. I'm sincerely thankful. I am sincerely so thankful for that. Our God reigns. I know you are too. The second thing we'll declare our thankfulness for is in Romans 8. Romans 8, look with me at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Our God reigns, and if God be for us, who can be against us? He is for us. He is for us. Peter said, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. That's an amazing thought. That honestly, that is an amazing thought. How can you fathom God? Can a man by searching find out God, the great and infinite God, and just to think he cares for you? That is just overwhelming. That's a comforting thing to know. Everything that he does is for us. It is. Like a husband for a wife, like a parent for a child. Everything he does, he has us in mind. It's for our well-being. Everything he does. The care, the safety, the salvation. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What thankfulness that produces in us. Doesn't that make you want to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise? Makes me want to be thankful for him, thankful to him, and bless his name. Blessed be the name. Our God reigneth, and he's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Last thing. This is the last thing I want to declare thankfulness for. It's something that we know and we quote all the time. And because of that, I very strongly believe, we take it for granted. We know it, we quote it, we take it for granted. Most of the time, I believe it's common to us, and I believe it does not hit us, it does not grab us, and it just passes over our minds and our hearts. But every time the Lord brings this back to my fervent attention, every time he really applies it to me again, I am so thankful for it. It's found right here in Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know what that means? That means we can trust Him. That's what it means. That means we can trust Him. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For God's people, there is not one thing that happens on this earth that is not for their good. And I'm going to repeat that. For God's people, there is not one thing that happens on this earth, all the way around it, that does not happen for their good. Not one thing. Not one thing. Every painful thing that comes to God's people will bring good. Every sorrowful thing that comes to God's people will bring good. Every event that happens in this lifetime, for those who are in Christ, that event was ordered to happen. It was ordered at the sovereign hand of the God who is for us. It was ordered by the hand of the sovereign God who's for us. And He purposed it for good. He purposed it for good. We've listed these things before, but let me just remind us. Think about them throwing Joseph in a pit and selling him into slavery. You say, oh, that was bad. Not according to Joseph. Joseph said it was good. He said, you meant this for evil. God meant it for good. He literally said that. And He meant it. What was it, 2 years he spent in that horrible prison and everything he endured? He said it was good. He meant that. He honestly meant that. Think about the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. Can you imagine? You think about that and you say, that was bad. That's horrible. Not according to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Once that fourth man appeared, oh, they said, this is good. This is all good. They beat the Apostle Paul. And they bound him with chains and literally threw him into a Philippian jail. And you say, oh man, that was bad. That was so bad. Not according to Paul and not according to that Philippian jailer. They said, that was good. That was so good. All right, now, thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and thinking about Paul, and thinking about these men who endured all this, think about you, and think about the very things that are happening in your life right now. The different things that you're going through that are causing you to say, it's bad. This is bad. This is looking bad. All right, think about those very things. Zero in on those very things. All right, those actual things. And remember this. Soon, you are going to be thanking God for those things. The very things that you are just dreading, the clouds you so much dread. Very soon, all right? It may be nearly impossible to believe that right now, but it is so. It is absolutely so. Either in this lifetime or in the life to come. Either way, every one of God's children will see the good of every single event that the Lord caused on purpose to come their way. And we will thank Him for it. I'm telling you, we will thank God for that seemingly horrible event. Whatever trial we may be enduring, not only will He bring an end to it, but He'll bring good from it, and we will thank him for it. So let's close, going back to Psalm 100. Let's read this in closing. Along with David, along with all the other brethren in the Scripture, I want to acknowledge to our Lord on all of our behalf that we're so thankful to him for the fact that he's sovereign over all things. So thankful that he's for us. And so thankful that everything he's purposed to us is for our good. With that, Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Thank the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord. All right, Brother Dwight, you've come.